Continuing a little thought with the ripple effect, only this one is the ripple and beyond. So we're going to be leaving the thoughts about the family unit, although it seemed like there was so much more that could have been said. Surely the Lord will take the word and multiply it and enlarge it with each one of our families, that we find that we will have a solid foundation for the ripple effect to go beyond our families and our homes. And I believe that God is working.
Yes, he is.
I believe he's working with our families.
Yes.
And I thank him for that. I don't think he is just passing us by and not leaving a blessing. I believe he is leaving blessings in our families. This message is for me. I have not realized how much I needed to be reminded of people out there and beyond myself. And sometimes when we are reminded of some places that we need to improve, the enemy can sometimes make us feel accused. And that is the farthest thing I want this morning. I do not want us to leave here this morning and think, well, I haven't been doing this or that. But let's just take it and I sort of had it like this, food for thought. That from this day forward, remind myself of what God is wanting me to be out there beyond my four walls, beyond my family. So we're going to start with a scripture in Romans, the 14th chapter. We want to lay a little foundation this morning as to how God thinks of all of this. Romans 14, we're going to look at verses 7 and 8, and it says, "None of us liveth to himself." And so that's one thought we want to keep in our minds. We're in this world, we're not of this world, but we are to be a blessing in this world. We're not to just live life and it only be me and mine, and that's all that really matters. We need to have a burden that goes beyond me and mine. And it says that even though we don't live to ourselves, it says we don't die to ourselves. In other words, I want something to show for my life when I come to death's door. Because when I get to death's door, it's too late. I'm going to have done something with my life before I reach that point. You know, you and I are living in probably the busiest time of all history. We have the most conveniences of all history.
Amen.
And yet time is just like water being poured out. I can't hardly take it in some days. I get up and before I know it, it's time to go to bed again. And I'm saying, Lord, another day is through. And the days are just passing so quickly. And that's part of, I spoke a little bit in Sunday school about distractions. The enemy is using so much to distract us that we can't hardly breathe. Oh, I mean, we can breathe. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's just rushing all the time. And so the Lord is wanting us to stop and take note of who we are, what we are, where we are on life's way. You know, we try to challenge us to be ready to meet the Lord, that it could happen anytime. Doesn't matter your age. You can be young and you can go out and meet the Lord tomorrow. But it goes beyond that. We don't know our day. We don't know our hour, but we know we are still here. And God is wanting to use us in this life. And do you remember this message we had on promotion and where it comes from? It doesn't come from the east, the west, the south. It comes from the north. It comes from hard things. He's using it to teach us and toughen us. And are you getting tougher? Stronger? Lord, help us that we can, these things will work, and that we can be something to somebody out there. So the scripture goes on and it says, whether we live or whether we live unto the Lord, my life must count for something to glorify God. Do you see how the enemy could take these words and make us feel accused? Resist it. I believe the Lord is wanting to give us hope that we can live for Him in this dark and evil time and be that light out there and be that hand that reaches out to someone. Be that voice. Be that smile. Yes. Do you know we can go to Walmart and be so intent on what we are going for that we don't even look people in the eye? I do. I confess. I need to be more conscious that there's people out there that may just need a smile or may need just a word. Let's leave that then for right now. But it says, whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. And so whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. So often we've heard and said it that I can't save myself. I can't do anything in myself, but I can do all things through Christ. And He strengthens us. And He enables us. And He also teaches us how to do it. When we are intimidated, you ever intimidated by people? When you're out there, oh, they don't want to hear this. You know, the Lord knows how to help us to not be intimidated. To say what He gives us to say with the right spirit and in the right way. Thank the Lord. So the next thought that came after that was selfishness. Is there any place for selfishness in a saint's life? I'm going to tell you, it's like a confession also, but you know, years ago, you'd go to a Chinese restaurant and they'd have these placemats and they'd have the years and they'd say, if you were born in this year, this is how you are. Well, I read that and it said that people born at my age and time and everything was selfish. And it just got my attention. And I never told anybody, but for a number of years, I drove myself trying not to be selfish because of what that said. I pushed myself. I could not be satisfied. I was so afraid of being selfish. You know, we live in a selfish world. And it's good for us to be conscious of what selfishness is. And I think we all are familiar what it is to be self-centered, to think of no one but myself. God doesn't want us to be under bondage that we're going to be selfish. He wants us to give that to Him and say, and I came to the place, it took me a long time. Actually, it was my cousin Laverna. We were talking on the phone one day and it just came out. And she said, you know, God isn't going to let you be selfish. So God is not going to let us be something that will not glorify Him. And I was trying to do all of that in my own strength. Self-centeredness. There's no place for it with the people of God. Nor stinginess. Or self-serving. It will never benefit anyone. It will not benefit you. It will not benefit me. So, we have been wanting to be promoted in His kingdom, and this is one of the ways He wants to promote us, is to take self out of our lives. Wherever self is, it will show itself in these kind of things. And I believe that we've all heard messages down through our life that we're familiar with the fact that I can be self, I can have self on hand. I was thinking how that Christ didn't have a selfish bone in Him. Have you ever heard statements like that? Well, they don't have a selfish bone in them. Christ didn't. Christ was the most giving and serving and sacrificing of any human being that has ever walked the face of the earth. Yes, He was God. I acknowledge He was God. But the scripture also tells me how He was. And it tells me, and this is Mark 10 and 45, I'm going to be paraphrasing some of this. He didn't come to be ministered to. He came to minister and to serve. He came to be a servant, and He was a sacrificial servant. You know, I'm not sure that any of us, and especially me, fully understands sacrifice. We have been in a world of such abundance. In our lifetime, the generation that went through the Depression, they're gone. Most of us that are even older may have come on the heels of it, but we never felt the effects of it. And during the time of the Depression, everyone were poor and maybe hungry and had to fight for the next meal. And it was just a period of time that you and I have never experienced. I hope we never do. That wasn't a pleasant time. But what it did cause men and women to call on God in time of being so poor they could hardly feed their families. It's history. So, you and I have had it so good in our whole life. even those that are, I'm going to say, the poorest among us, I don't think they really understand poorness. There's more to be said about that, but I don't even know if you and I are able to recognize the needy among us, really. Because most of the people around us in our communities and in our cities where we live are just not showing signs of being in poverty. I know they say there are people in poverty. I'm sure there is, but it's very hard to find them. So, Jesus said this. He said, I have given you an example that ye should do also as I have done. You know, he gave us many examples. I mean, in reality, God has to bring back to our minds and show us the example that he did leave in different categories of our walk with the Lord, or different areas of being obedient, being submissive, in suffering. And we've talked a lot about suffering, but he left us an example of suffering. And he just, he left us examples in so many different ways of divine love and meekness and being merciful and being long-suffering. He has left it all for us to know what to do. And so he's really been an example of being a servant to mankind. And he showed us how to sacrifice. And I think that in order for us to be sacrificial, that we have to go before the Lord and say, Lord, teach me. I can have an idea of what it means to be sacrificing. I mean, we could go back to the messages about the family life. You have to be sacrificial with your family. But it needs to go on out there, beyond our family. So he came. He didn't live to himself. And he didn't die by choice. Oh, you say, but he did die by choice. He didn't die just to get out of this world, is what I mean. He didn't just escape. You and I are maybe trying to escape suffering, having to bear with somebody. Maybe we're tired of all of this, and I just as soon go on. You ever hear anybody say those kind of things? Oh, I just wish I could just go on. Well, it's not your time to go on. You have to wait until it's your time. But Jesus, he knew it was his time, but he didn't just do it to escape from his suffering. What did he do it for? He did it for even us. For every soul on the face of the earth. Remember the message we gave when we told what the population was of the whole world? Over 7 billion people. And his blood could reach. His goodness could reach. His mercy could reach every individual. That's hard for us to comprehend. And that he could love every one of them at the same time and in the same way. And we say, oh, I know he loves me. But he loves all of them too. He loved all of those that are in the world. So then he said, now I've given you an example. And then he said, verily, verily. You know what verily, verily means? What does it mean? Truly, truly. In other words, this is very true. The servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So I believe the Lord is saying to us, he's calling us to follow his example, and he's wanting us to find great joy in serving others. And is it going to happen every day? Is it every day you're going to go serve someone? No. But I believe that we're going to know when it happens. So now I want to go to the Colossians, the third chapter. I'm going to be giving you parts of verses 22 and 23. And he says, whatsoever we do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. So I believe what the Lord is, and I think we will have to seek for the Lord to give us a heart to serve, to put it in a love in my heart, and also to have a vision that my eyes will be open and I will observe where I am needed to serve. It says, knowing that it is of the Lord that the reward will be given. So you do it as unto the Lord or unto God and no other reason. Don't do it as unto men. Well, I want to help this person over here because it will lighten their load. Well, it may, but I'm doing it because God will be pleased. And the reward, will there be rewards? Definitely. It's all through there. But the reward comes from the Lord. It will not come from this person being very thankful and maybe praising you for doing this for them. And maybe they go and they even tell others and they sing your praises. No. God wants to sing your praises. He wants to give you a reward for your service to someone. And then it says in that verse, I wrote this part, then there is a cause. What we do, do it not as eye service. Oh, well, everybody just look over here. I'm getting ready to do this for somebody. Making it known, that's eye service. And we also need to do it in singleness of heart, fearing God. I don't have any other purpose. God has created me to be a help in this world, to be light, to be whatever he's calling me to be, to serve others. And that's my singleness of heart, my whole purpose. It is not to draw attention to myself or to what I've done, but only that he be glorified. Thank the Lord. So now we have 1 Corinthians 10:31, and this is a phrase that is in there. I just want to insert it here. Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And you know God knows when we do it for his glory. He'll receive the praise. He'll receive the glory. So when I do whatever I do, may it be to the glory of God. So these are just a few of the scriptures that is to maybe influence us in our thoughts and our purposes and for serving others. And I'm going to put it this way, in ministering, you think you have to be a preacher to minister? Every one of us are ministers in some way to others, to our family first, and then to others. You're a minister. You're ministering. So the next phase of serving, I'm going to start with this scripture, and it's Galatians 6 and 9 through 10, and these are all familiar. This isn't a new lesson this morning or an unheard of thing. This is new only as we receive it as new. As we say, Lord, renew this within me. Renew a right spirit. Revisit me. Revive me. Help me to be conscious of those that are crossing my path or I'm crossing their path. Let me be to thy glory. So it says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Are you ever weary in well-doing? I dare to say not one of you have not experienced some kind of weariness in your walk with the Lord. It is in the time that we are living in, and there is a reason for it. Because the scripture tells us, and it's over in Daniel, and it doesn't necessarily call him Satan, but we can label him as Satan. He wants to wear out the saints of the Most High God. Do you believe that? Do you feel the wearing, daily wearing you down? That's part of that distraction in our minds. So we have to not be weary in doing well. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. No fainting on this way allowed. Oh, we might be tempted to faint. We may feel faint. Have you ever felt faint spiritually? I have. We have to go to the source then to regain that strength, thank the Lord. But the next verse says, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Now we've got our mission. Now we have the command. Now you're going beyond your four walls of your family and you're going to your job and you're going to shop and you're going to school and wherever, whatever. Look for it. Look for opportunities. And opportunities, again, I say, they won't come every day. But we look for them. And we seek the Lord and we say, Lord, help me to see my opportunities to glorify you. I'm doing it as unto the Lord, see? And it says, as you have opportunities, let us do good unto all men. But is that the end of it? No. It says, especially unto those or them who are of the household of faith. See how the ripple is going to go out beyond? Yes. And it's going to be affected and effective in the congregation, when we go to camp meeting, when we mix and mingle with the saints of God. And it said especially do it there. And we're not very conscious because we're still sort of caught up in myself and me and mine. And please don't take that as an accusation. It's just common to us all, I believe. In the busyness of life, we just don't recognize the opportunities. The household of faith. Let's talk a little bit about this scripture now. I have a couple of other translations for the beginning of that 10th verse. It says, practice generosity. Make it a practice. when the opportunity is ours. Practice generosity. Find out what that means. Does that mean I just reach in my pocket and I pull out money and I just give it? It's more than that. It may not be that. It may mean something else completely. I don't think that a message can be preached and tell you, do this number one and do this number two and do this number three. We would miss the point and the opportunities. But you can see the opportunities and you can be generous with yourself, giving of yourself to whatever the need is or opportunity. Whenever we can, always be kind to everyone. That's another translation of that verse. Does it cost you anything to be kind? No. It's freely given. Lord, help me to be kind. And what about the woman? The woman that was described in Proverbs 31. She had what kind of a law in her tongue? The law of kindness. Did it cost her anything? Oh, there may have been a self-denial. We must deny ourselves to be these things. Christ denied himself. So then in the last part about the household of faith, doing good especially to them, the saints, and other Christians. How many times have you met someone and your spirit blended? You felt that their spirit, and they weren't sitting in our pews. God has other people. He knows everyone that belongs to him. That's his seal. And you and I must not push somebody aside because they don't look like us. Let's try the Spirit. And you know, we might be a real blessing to somebody that doesn't have all the light that I have. Well, what do? Then just spill light all over them all of a sudden and this is how it is and you better accept it? No. Use wisdom. The wisdom that cometh from above is first what? Pure. Oh, God knows how to use us out there. This ripple can go beyond. It can reach to somebody that God wants you to reach. Thank the Lord. The next scriptures, 1 Corinthians 16, and it's 14 through 16, and it's just parts of those verses. You know, I like to give parts because I want you to grab it in your mind. I don't want to have some words that are not necessarily relevant, but I want us to grasp the main thought. And it says, let all your things be done with charity. Now, if you don't have love when you do these deeds, it's in vain. We need the love of God filling us every day. I beseech you, brethren. And then it is in parentheses. And it says, ye know the house of Stephanas? Have you ever heard of this man? Do you know who Stephanas is in the Bible? This is what he was. The house of Stephanas, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You know what? I haven't read that scripture in so long, I'd forgot about it. And I had to say, Lord, am I addicted? You know, there's addictions out in the world and they can't help but do what they want to do and what they're addicted to. That's what God's calling for you and me. Just get addicted to helping people. When the opportunity comes, are you addicted? Do you think after this we all might get addicted? Amen. We might be so challenged and we might have such joy in serving one another that we just get addicted? And then it says after that, that ye submit yourselves unto such. You know what? You have to submit yourself if you want to get addicted to this. Yes. And to everyone that laboreth. You know, there's different kinds of labors in the church. And there is a labor that is called the labor. I mean, I put that word on there, labor, of helps. You just help. And you know, there's others that do other things, and yes, we want to be addicted to helping one another, but it's also just seeing what needs to be done and doing it is part of being a help. There's another form of serving, and again, I don't want this to be any kind of an accusation at all. I think the Lord just wants to remind us. Hospitality. You know, the generations before us were very hospitable. They loved to serve. This was told to me about my Aunt Margaret. And it's about a shame to me. She preached every Sunday night. But she always had a meal ready to invite somebody home. That was told to me.
Three chickens every Saturday night she'd take out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she would prepare it the day before, but she had a meal ready. That's showing hospitality. And I believe that in our society that we're lacking a little bit in hospitality. I believe that the Lord would be pleased for us to improve, and please don't get under a burden of this. It doesn't have to be every Sunday. But showing hospitality. Now, let's take this coin, because of it being especially to the household of faith, let's turn the coin over. Now, what would be hospitality out there? I've got some scriptures. First of all, you are serving someone who's not able to pay you back, or to invite you back, or cannot possibly return the favor. That is real, true, godly hospitality. Now, you and I can invite you to my house one Sunday, and you can invite me to your house the next Sunday, and we are doing what? Paying each other back. And that's good. But for a sacred, holy hospitality, it is doing it as unto someone that cannot return the favor. Luke 6:33. If ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? There's a scripture that tells it. Well, I do good to you and you do good to me, and then the scripture says sinners do that. Hebrews 13:2, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain or show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful to entertain an angel? I don't think I ever have, but wouldn't it be wonderful? The last verse is in the last scripture is Matthew 25, starting at 35, and I feel like that this one identifies our service in the world probably more than any of the ones I have read. Starting at verse 35 of chapter 25. For, now you'll know what this comes from. For I was an hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Who is he talking to? It's now at the judgment. And he's talking to his sheep. The ones that are on the right hand. And he says, I was naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. And I was in prison and ye came unto me. That's service. Isn't it?
Yes.
And we just need to be reminded. I need to be reminded. Can I help somebody out there that might fall into these categories? Because Jesus said, and these people that he said it to said, when did that happen? You know why they didn't know? Because they just were doing it automatically without thinking of even a reward. Let us not think of the reward. Let us just do it as unto the Lord. But Jesus went on down and he said, verily I say unto thee, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, you did it to me. Isn't that precious?
Yes.
So the ripple effect that goes beyond, it will come back. It'll come back to us. So, again, I want to say it's very hard for us to know where to give and where to serve in our world today. And we have been sort of turned off by panhandlers. I've been burned. I saw a man right over here one day after school. It was sort of snowing and cold, and the man was just walking with a limp like this, and he had a sign that said, I will work for food. And my heart went out. I went on to Crest. I was going there anyway, and I bought a basket full of good staple, long-lasting food. And I went back, pulled up, and I said, you know, I don't have any work for you to do, but I've got some groceries for you. Where would you like for me to put them? And he says, oh, there's my brother over there. You can put them in his car. So I'm still just feeling really good about giving. And I go over there and he starts unloading the groceries into his trunk. I invite him to church, you know, the church of, oh, my grandmother was Church of God. Well, I'm still feeling blessed. And then the next week or so, I'm in Edmond and the two men are working another corner. And I knew I was got. Well, we do it as unto the Lord. They're now responsible to answer for their honesty or dishonesty, whatever it was. It's not for me. But those kind of things have a tendency to turn us off, unfortunately. And I have had a number of those instances while I was working here at the school. Won't take time to go through all of those, but I just know that it's hard for us to recognize a need because there's so many dishonest people with their hand out. But God knows it. God knows it. And you know that we haven't had someone come in for money in a long time here. It's been quite a while. We did have a pantry that we gave food. We have given money. We always asked them to stay for the service. That was not a wrong thing to do. But most of the time, they never came back. So, showing all of these ways of serving, we're going to have to seek God to give us understanding some way of what he's doing to lead us to give or to do. So I want to close now with another thought. And it comes from a phrase in Zechariah 4 and 10, and I'm almost finished. And it asks this question, and it says, who hath despised the day of small things? And that prompts us to think, well, don't we sometimes say, that wouldn't mean anything that's so little. You know, that's unimportant. It might be important to somebody else. Might not look that big to you. May not be a big thing at all. But you know, I think the Lord wants to start with little things. I think that He gave us some examples. He told about a widow woman. And he was standing there watching, and he saw those that put in of their abundance. And you know what? God's calling for whatever he wants from you and me individually. But from this widow woman was an example that she gave only two mites. How small is that? And Jesus said she gave in more than all of these others. He'll receive it in that same way. A small thing. And I'm not wanting to say we all need to cut down and we need to start giving in a little tiny bit and hoping God blesses it. He blesses what he sees we can give. She gave all she had. And then there's the other scripture that Jesus said, whosoever shall give a cup of cold water. How small is that? Didn't cost a thing. Get a cup of cold water and you give it to somebody that is thirsty. And he said, you will not miss your reward. So I think we want to end with the challenge of starting with the small things and finding out what are some small things that may seem very unimportant. And again, I couldn't name enough of them to make everybody cover everybody's place. But I can tell you one. When you're driving to work, rush hour traffic, isn't it a small thing to give room to somebody that needs to cut in?
Yes.
And yet there are people out there that get so mad and they go into road rage. Oh, God can't bless that. But when he sees you're in a hurry to get to work and you're putting on your brake and letting somebody come in, that's a small thing, but you're serving somebody. You're serving them. Oh, there's so many small things that you and I could do out there that will bless the people. And at the same time, what happens? Your light gets brighter. He lets your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Thank the Lord.